personal statement concerning my calling to the ministry.
Welcome to Bridgecast, an online internet broadcast hosted at paulthompsonblog.com. In today's broadcast, Paul may give reviews of books he's been reading, interview friends, explore church history, or consider current events, all with the hope to keep the lamp of Scripture on the narrow path. Listen in as Paul considers today's topics.
You heard some expressions of that nearly 15 years ago. What I believe God was doing in my life and in our partnership in the ministry here at the church. Now, ironically, there's hardly anybody in the room present who was here that night other than John and Helen and my family. There would be about a similar percentage-wise if I were to give an expression of this on a Sunday morning. So it at least tells the story a little bit of not everybody who was here 15 years ago is still here. And those who are here now, maybe it might be helpful for you to know where I stand and how I view my personal calling to the ministry. And so let me read two pieces of Scripture that I believe are background and helpful in this and part of the exercise that I participated in myself in drafting up a working document that I call my personal statement concerning my calling. So as the first passage comes from Ezekiel chapter 2, and the second one will come from Jeremiah chapter 2 as well. So this is Ezekiel's expression or explaining of the of his expression or his hearing the call of God in his life and the duty that he believes God's calling him for. So I want to read chapter 2 of Ezekiel and also chapter 2 and just a couple of verses out of Jeremiah, and then give a little bit more background before I read through my personal statement concerning my calling. All right, and then the third thing we're going to do this evening is we're going to do an impromptu interview with Renee. She did at least have about an hour and a half warning that I was going to do this to her tonight. I wanted it to be extemporaneous. I wanted it to be somewhat spontaneous. I did run through three questions with her, so she knows at least in part some of the questions. And then I told her I do have one mystery gotcha question. No, I didn't. I don't think I defined it as a gotcha question. It's a mystery question. And today's our 29th wedding anniversary, and so I thought I would include her in and put her on the spot this evening and have her tell you all the things she loves about her husband. that's not what we're going to do, and that's not what she's going to do. So that's how we'll roll through the evening, okay? Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And the pronoun he at the start here is God. Then he said to me, and that pronoun was Ezekiel, the me. Then he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And then he said to me, son of man, I'm sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people, who have rebelled against me. And they and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I'm sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence. For they are a rebellious house. Verse 7. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not. for they are rebellious. Now, you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. And then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. Then he spread it out before me, and it was written on the front and on the back. Written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. And then in Jeremiah chapter 2, we'll include verses 9 through 13. Beginning in the 9th verse. Therefore, I will yet contend with you, declares the Lord. And with your sons' sons I will contend. For cross to the coastlands of Kittim and see. And send Kedar and observe closely. And see if there has been such a thing as this. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So those two passages of Scripture at least have some bearing, have some speaking to me personally. I'm not adopting those declarations from God and taking them from Ezekiel or Jeremiah and implying anything supernatural in that. I'm just taking the vantage point of what they're saying and seeking the face of God concerning my own calling to the ministry. And so in addition to that, I also at least want to acknowledge that not only does Jeremiah have influence upon this statement that I have, Jeremiah has influence upon this statement that I have, but the Apostle Paul brings in influence upon me as well in his declarations to the churches. If you spent any amount of time with me, either in personal discourse or especially in Wednesday night prayer gathering times, you know how influential A.W. Tozer has been in my life. Jonathan Edwards has had a great influence, his writings. John Bunyan. John Bunyan is an individual that I have a very hard time reading John Bunyan, but every time I spend time with John Bunyan in the reading, you know John Bunyan's dead, right? So I don't channel him out. It's when I read John Bunyan is what I mean by this. By spending time with John Bunyan, I come away with a heavy understanding that his words are heavily influenced by Scripture. And then Hudson Taylor as well has had his testimony, his work in China, his work as a man of God has had those. This statement comes with that kind of influence upon my life. And so here is an attempt to express my personal statement concerning my calling. And I want you to know where I stand in these things and where I am in relationship to who I am as a pastor. So it's essentially my declaration or my statement. When I wrote this in April, as I reflect back on it now, I'm writing it more as though I'm pleading it to God. So that's how it comes across. That's how it came out whenever I wrote it. It says, O Lord, on my own, I would never volunteer for such a thing as to be a pastor, as you have called me to. I have heard you, and I hear you now with increasing fear. O Lord, I respond to you with submission. And I ask for strength that I will refuse to take this calling as my own calling. Well, Lord, take others, or like others, take this statement as my desire to refuse to see this calling as a special calling because of who I am. and that I might strive to remain humble as a messenger of your revealed nature, and have no expectation of anyone, that anyone will receive me with joy, or to receive the messages that we have, that you have for me, for your people. O Lord, my God, help me to not be a waster of your time. This responsibility that you've laid upon me and are fitting me for is not mine, but it's yours. Who am I to exercise my pride and my arrogance and employ any means of men for the sovereign work, for this sovereign work? O Lord, help me to speak a solemn vow of honor. Help me to speak a solemn vow to honor you in all of my life, whether by increase in life or in loss, whether in life or in death, whether it be in liberty or imprisonment. Help me to resist my craving for the applause of men, and help me never to forget the craving for the applause of men is strong and fierce in my bones. O Lord, the wolf has indeed clothed himself with wool. False sheep ignore the dangers of warnings of your word, and the pleasure of this life reigns supreme as they make light of you and your word, these wolves in sheep's clothing. O Lord, give me sharp eyes to see the nearness of the enemy. O Lord, give me ears to hear his deception. O Lord, give me a nose to smell the foulness of his ways. Give me a voice like yours that speaks with clarity and help that even the wandering sheep will recognize you and follow. O Lord, give me courage to be faithful and to give faithful reports of what I see, hear, smell, and speak to the church. Lord, save me from error. I am capable of it, and have even proven in times past that I am an expert in error. The temptation is present everywhere that I turn. Give me awareness of what lies dark across the landscape of the modern church that would disqualify me of this calling from you. O Lord, as I put my hand to the plow, forbid that I should look anywhere or to anyone but you. Help me to resist the curse of compromise. Help me to resist the lure of imitation. Help me to avoid the trappings of professionalism. Help me to remember that I am an under-shepherd, not a promoter. I'm not an event manager, but a humble under-shepherd of your church. Help me not to exchange my calling as a faithful herald for the profession of event promoter. Help me be steady and true to your word, not a manager of the ways of men. Help me to remain free from the bondage of popularity. O Lord, deliver me from the desire of things. Help me to make the most of this day with heaven in mind. With your strength, I'll resist the urge to waste another day in the cravings of laziness and idleness. O Lord, lead me to the place of prayer where I may battle for the souls of men, and teach me the benefit of discipline and the tragedy of gluttony. O Lord, I'll accept sleepless nights and no recognition in my days. If you will help me to curb my criticism of others who don't do as I do. Help me exercise caution as to not behaving harshly toward those who oppose me, and to do so with a quiet and a gentle spirit. Well, Lord, help me to resist unnecessary expectations of your church. Help me to resist selfish ambitions for recognition and reward from my selfish, arrogant ways. Help me to respond with joy for the poor and to resist pride or compromise toward the generous. Lord, I commit my remaining days to you. Whether there are many or few, if asked to stand before the rich and the famous, or the poor and lowly, I accept that this choice is not mine, nor would I desire to choose in fear that I would clearly choose wrongly. I am your servant to do as you instruct. Your will is of my greatest desire. I want to hunger and thirst for holiness and righteousness to direct me and to constrain me. Oh, that I might choose the table of heaven over the table of position, riches, or fame. O Lord, even though elected to calling of under-shepherd to your people, guard my heart from pride. Don't let me forget the place from which you called me, that place in which I had to be rescued from because I was blind and had no craving for holiness in the first place. O Lord, fill me with the deposit of heaven, the promise from you, the Holy Spirit. And may I only speak the oracles of heaven, ordered by the Holy Spirit, given by you, spoken by the Father. O Lord, I go forth in your power to the nations to spread the gospel message of a Redeemer. So long as I have breath of life and soundness of mind, have me prepared to remain steady and true until you call me to your heavenly residence. Hallelujah and amen. So let me reflect on that from the text that I've already read this evening from Ezekiel and Isaiah. When Ezekiel is hearing the instructions from the Lord, his instructions are to go forth regardless of how the people will respond to what you have to say. But God's word to Ezekiel is, be certain that you speak my word when you speak to the people. It's a great desire that I have, that I would pursue God in such a way that I would only want to present, to put his word in front of myself as well as in front of my church. And then from Jeremiah's declarations here, essentially or especially in verse 13 of Jeremiah chapter 2, where God says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. There were two primary things in that verse alone that essentially drove me to make an attempt to write out a personal statement concerning my calling. And it is essentially this, that in this life we can make a choice. I can make a choice as a pastor, and you as a follower of Christ can make a choice in this manner. Am I going to be a drinker of the fountain of God, or am I going to be a digger of cisterns? Am I going to come to that which is already the source of a living God and drink from that fountain? Or am I going to go find a shovel and go out and dig my own cistern? And according to Jeremiah, it needs to be multiple cisterns, because every time I dig one, it's broken, it's cracked, it doesn't hold water, and I got to dig a new one to make up for the one that's already wore out and broke. So am I as a pastor going to be a drinker of the fountain of God, or am I going to be a digger of man's ideas that prove to be failed and flawed along the way? Oh, how I want to be what I've written out to be. And more, even so, why I would call this a working statement, because I'm sure, as the Lord would allow days to unfold, that there will be even more things that I'll want to write to myself about, from myself. And I want you to know this is a driving place for me as a pastor concerning you. And there are many things. If there are ways that you can pray for your pastor, or pray for pastors in general, that would be this, that you would pray that they would be faithful to the Word of God. I cannot explain to you the fleshly craving for the popularity of men. It is almost an all-consuming craving that if left unguarded will completely wreck me, will completely wreck the believer. So, over the course of time, and in the process of writing this out, I've been tested in this in multiple ways. I'm unliked, unfriended, blocked, and barred from access to friends that I've had in the ministry and believers and acquaintances and friends alike in all kinds of ways, not just in the electronic realm, but in personal realms along the way of the journey. And I must not let that activity influence my duty and my responsibility. Because if I'm not careful, those things will really begin to push in and lean in upon me and begin to make compromise to what God's called me for. So, it's been quite some time since I don't think I've spoken in this realm with you as a church since the early days of my coming. And I'm sure that it's well past time that I address that and make expression of that. And so I wanted you to hear that from me. It's a document I wrote for myself, to myself. I've shared it in a couple of settings, and now I share it with you. And I want you to pray for me in that realm. And it comes with a heavy influence of Ezekiel. A heavy influence of Jeremiah. Dear Paul, are you going to be a drinker of my fountain, or are you going to get your own shovel out and go try to dig your own cisterns that will leave people empty and thirsty, never satisfied? Oh, may we find our great satisfaction in Christ. So that's, I brought that out this week. I thought I want you to hear this from me personally, not just a document that I've posted up on my blog or it's available somewhere. I wanted you to hear it from me. I wanted to speak it in front of you, even as somewhat of a declaration, a reminder for myself. And maybe, perhaps, in it might be reason of consideration that you might make an attempt to draft out your own document. You know, your own personal statement of what you want, what kind of a husband do you want to be? What kind of a wife do you want to be? What kind of a father do you want to be? What kind of an employee do you want to be? What kind of a church member do you want to be? And let it be influenced from Scripture in that realm.
Thanks for listening today. Feel free to write Paul with questions or comments related to today's topics. Helpful links can be found at the blog link related to this broadcast at paulthompsonblog.com.